Hello and welcome to a special edition of the In the Money Players podcast. I'm your host, Peter Thomas Fornital, coming to you from an old school location. I'm sitting at the kitchen table inside at the Little House on the East Side. We have some company who are currently staying in the degenerate flop house. Not degenerates, my in-laws. But anyway, we are very excited to be here with you to talk about today, Saturday's Golden Hour Pick 4. We do not have a particular update on the weather in Northern California. I did look. It looked to be maybe a bit clearer than yesterday. We're hoping that's going to be the case. If nothing else, hey, we'll talk about the late double at Santa Anita, and you can use our thoughts to approach that wager. But hopefully, they'll be running up north, and we'll have the ability to play the Golden Hour Pick 4 today. This is a new bet created by horse players, for horse players, low takeout, a $1 minimum, and very excited to have to talk about this bet today. My old buddy, you know him from Twitter, you know him from Trip Note Pros, Benny Southstreet. What's up, my man?
Well, it won't be long and our income is going to be way up.
Why do you say that?
Because we're going to hit this thing. I like this play. I love this bet. And I think we're going to hit it.
I love it. I love the confidence, the optimism, and let's hope it's well-founded. Let's dive right in, shall we? People are going to be listening to this. There won't be a whole ton of time, though there is some time, because this bet does not begin until 7:55 p.m. Eastern time. It's a real a bit of a get-out special, if you will, and it starts off with race number 9 at Santa Anita tonight. We've got $16,000 claimers, 3 and up, going a mile on the dirt. How do we want to kick this thing off?
Well, you know, this is the leg that I actually least like. Does it even make sense? Least like? I don't like this leg.
Yeah. So what do you do when you don't like a leg? Are you inclined to guess and go skinny, or do you spread your face off?
What I'll do is, I suppose if I like anybody the most, it would be the number 5 horse, Bam Bam Again. So I'll play one ticket a few times and single that one. And then I'll play my Bs one or two times against the rest of the ticket. And then I'll probably even spread a few more and play that ticket very light, maybe one time.
So who would be your backups? What numbers do you want to include? I'm with you, by the way. I'm Bam Bam Again. Look to me to be the best speed. Definitely a horse I want all over my tickets. I was giving a look from a pace point of view also to My Journey on the outside, but very curious what numbers you came up with.
You know, I looked at that race closely. I think My Journey could be the wild card in here because he had a real nice trip last time stalking. Everything fell into place for him, and he didn't fire. So it makes me worry a little bit that he's going to take to different tactics and kind of blast off and maybe crack the 5 Bam Bam Again. I didn't prefer My Journey, but I think he kind of holds the key to the race a little bit because I do think that Bam Bam Again is the speed. Also not a big fan of that fast work since raced for Bam Bam Again. It kind of screams of claim me, which I don't really like seeing. I would have liked seen something a little slower, a lot slower. I think that horse is already dead fit. There was no need for that. So that was a knock against for me. The Bs would be the 2, the 3, and the 4. Detmonger, Linfield, and Next Revolt. I thought Next Revolt was in a bad spot for most of that race. He's deserving of a pass. And I think Linfield could fall into a really nice stalking trip. He's a horse that can be forward. I'm not a big fan of spar droppers per se, but this one, he did double jump and then comes back to probably the correct level with Detmonger. So, and he was a B for me as well. The others I don't like so much, but if they do come through for some particular reason, they're going to be a big number and I want at least one ticket with the others. So 5 is my A and 2, 3, and 4 as my Bs.
One little bit of trivia, folks who remember the World Horse Players Tour pilot, a concept that is in the mothballs for the pandemic, but will rise again, I swear to you. might remember the famous moment in that show where Jason Avila thinks he's won and starts celebrating and walks away from the TV and then gets tagged right on the line. Spoiler alert, but you know, it's been out for a couple of years. Gryffindor, the one in here, was the horse that made that flying late move that that day, which was, funny enough, also a Preakness day a couple of years back. Anyway, neither here nor there. Let's move on to the second leg in the Golden Hour pick four. It's race number 8 at Golden Gate, and another race where it looked like there was a potential pace play to me in the number 5, Sweet and Softly. How did you see this one, Benny?
Well, I actually thought they were going to fly in this race. I think that the first timers are going to show speed. One thing I like to do is look at the first workout that you see on the page, and the 6 has got a bullet. Worked 35-2 first workout. I think she's got some speed. First time out as a 4-year-old, I probably think she's live as well. They've probably been patient with her. They could run her for a tag and probably not have to worry. She shows up protected. And then she's got one gate work in there, which is also very solid. She works 1:01 from the gate. So those are 2 tip-offs for me. I think she's got a shot, but
good point.
That also to me reeks of speed. So mm-hmm. I thought there was the potentiality for the 5 and the 6 to hook up. And then the 3's also got some fast works early. So I think the 3 could potentially blast off. I liked the 1 as my A. I looked at that first race out, the 5.5 race, and this was an absolute no try. And if you watch the gallop out, Tiago's not particularly the best gate jockey. She didn't come out of there with a whole lot of speed, and it doesn't look like she has much. And she probably doesn't, which is fine for me in this scenario because I do think that they might go fast early. But if you watch her down the lane, she is rolling late with absolutely no try whatsoever from Tiago. And she gallops out near the front of the pack into the clubhouse turn over there at Anita. So she's live for me. I like the 1 as my A. I like the 6 as a B. And then I think it'd be tough to dismiss the 8 as well. She debuted sprinting on dirt. They clearly wanted her on turf. They fired next 3 tries with her. They thought she was well meant for the surface, and she comes back to sprinting on turf, which or rather on the over the tapeta. So I think that this is a good spot for her. Typically, those surfaces transfer well. So yes. That's my ticket. 1 as my A and 6-8 as B's.
I will underline a point about Alice Marble, the 1. And this is a tool I've been using at Golden Gate. I've been doing plenty of Golden Gate races for Sky Sports Racing when I'm on the later shifts on Saturdays and Sundays. The breeding ratings contained within Timeform US have Alice Marble rated considerably better for synthetic than they do for turf sprints, for whatever that's worth. Maybe just another reason to think this one could run a little bit better in this spot. So I like the idea of that one as an include as well. I'll stubbornly stick to Sweet and Softly. You make a great point about the speed that the 6 is likely to show, but I'm going to keep that one in the mix as well. Let's head back to Santa Anita for leg C of the pick 4 and leg A, if you will, of the Golden Hour double with its $5 minimum, which is an interesting wager as well. The true get out play if the Golden Hour pick 4 hasn't worked out for you to this point. This one's going to go at 8:25 Eastern, just to get that in listeners' heads. We've got 2-year-old maidens going a mile on the turf. What did you come up with in here?
Well, I like one of those that have run. I do like the 6, Pizzazz. I think she's a dunk. She had an impressive debut, and I find no reason to think that she won't stretch out, given her pedigree. I do like the 1. The 1 was 5-1 morning line. This is kind of an interesting. I almost wish she hadn't run against that monster, Princess Noor, the Baffert, who looks to be very, very talented and special. But it was 5-1 morning line. Went off at 14-1. But the interesting angle for me is the jockey. So to me, this just says, not today. She wasn't particularly bet, even though she did fire a good shot. But I think O'Neill probably rode Rispoli thinking later for turf. And she shows up going longer on turf. Rispoli's not in town today. But that's an angle I like to use. I like to kind of hypothesize on what these trainers are doing with their riders when they're pointing them to certain targets. And to me, that this seems like the likely target. So I'm using 1 and 6 equally. I do think the 6 is a potential single, but I'm going to hope for the 1.
I like where you're going. You make an interesting case for Avise, the 1. I was with you on Pizzazz, looked a potential short price single to me. Everything about this one, pedigree, the way she was bet first time, the hands she's in, everything says to me this one's going to take an awful lot of beating in here. But that's an interesting little case. I can't see shifting to use them equally. I think Pizzazz will definitely be a big press up for me. But I like the idea of your long shot, what horse I think will be a long shot, Avise, on some tickets as well. And with that, we're going to go to the closeout race for both the Golden Hour Double and Golden Hour Pick 4. We go back to Golden Gate for their 9th race, a 3-and-up allowance going 5 furlongs on the turf. How are we going to get paid?
Well, there are several need the leads in here. So I drew a line through all of them. And I landed on 2 horses, the logical single, which I'll press a little bit harder, that being the 3, Song of the Desert. My numbers are very, very strong with her last effort being tucked up inside. And I think she's going to get that covered trip again. This is probably the most logical single of the sequence. But I do think that the 7, Mischievous Curlin, can upset. She was impressive on debut. She ran against open company in a stakes race and went favored at 2-1. Obviously, something went awry in her last start, and she has that layoff. She was a puppy 2-year-old when she threw up these big numbers. And if she can improve at all, there's no reason why she can't track and beat this field. And I really like this work pattern. She's got a very steady stream of work, 7, 7, 8, 6 days, with a nice little break into that last one being 8 days. She should be fresh. And I love these last 2 works. She throws a monster work, 2nd of 63 on September 29th, and backs it up with something I really like, a painfully slow half where she goes 53-1. To me, that is just a sign that she's dead fit. She doesn't need anything more. They want her to be fresh. And she's a big price, and I think she can get the job done.
I like the case, my man. Only one more I want to throw at you to just get your thoughts on Lots of Pepper in this spot, with early speed being so dangerous when it comes to these 5 furlong turf races. I'm a little, I don't want to say concerned. I mean, I certainly find it notable that this one was 12-1 on debut, maybe surprised even connections just a little bit there. But on pace figures alone, I was inclined to include. What are your thoughts on that one?
You know, I just don't like the draw is all. And I don't like the number at 7-2. There's no reason why she can't win. This guy wins all the time up there now. But like I said, there was just a few in here that needed the lead. The 6 needs the lead and is going to try. Mm-hmm. 4, I actually have the 4 over that synthetic race, is extremely fast early. And then the 1. So you get that bookend kind of like, where they're both trying and they don't see each other until an 1/8 of a mile in. And at that point, it's too late. I think she'll have to go really fast across and clear. There's no reason why she can't win if she gets that done. I just think it's a tall order, and I'm willing to take a stand with those that I think that I feel confident are going to get the right trip.
Well, you make tons of sense. So that's the logical favorite, the 3, Song of the Desert. And your long shot again was the 7, Mischievous Curlin.
You got it.
Excellent. Well, good stuff, my friend. Really appreciate having you on for this show. We're going to have you back on soon. It's always so fun. You put a bunch of things out there that were worthy of follow-ups, but I want to keep this show lean and mean so people can get involved and support this wager that I know you're a big believer in. Have you gotten to the point yet of doing the ticket writing up, or have you just sort of graded the races and now you'll go back and do some ticket writing?
I haven't written them yet. But I know what I'm going to do. I mean, I'm going to play. It's not that I like, the whole pressing and being efficient. I like to do it a little bit differently than most. and that if I like them close to being even, which is kind of the case for me in the third leg, the Avis and Pizzazz race, I'll play them equally and try and bury it. And in fact, in some cases, I'll go in the exact reverse and try and bury it. So if I'm right on one of those races in the third and fourth leg with my price, you know, then it becomes a really nice day. It's something where I hire my band, the Hot Sardines, to come to my derby party in May next year. So that's the goal.
That's right. We recorded a whole thing on the Hot Sardines, but we didn't end up using it. This is the swing band that you're into all of a sudden?
Well, no, I mean, not all of a sudden. I kind of lost my partner, my swing partner. She doesn't like to get out much anymore, but believe it or not, I took swing lessons. I took West Coast, East Coast, you know, jitterbug, all kinds of stuff. And I've always been into swing dancing. So it's fun, man. I love the music. It's a fun vibe and they're legit. So been bumping them a little bit this morning too.
Unbelievable stuff. You learn something every day about Benny South Street. We are going to have you back soon for a longer visit. Really appreciate your time this morning, my friend.
You got it. Anytime for you, Pete.
That's going to do it for this abbreviated edition of the show focused entirely on today's Golden Hour Pick Four. I want to thank Benny South Street. I want to thank Nate Newby and the team at Santa Anita for listening to Horse Players and coming up with innovative ideas like this. We're going to be hearing a lot more about this bet. Not sure we're going to do too many standalone shows, maybe folded into our RacingPicks.com Players podcast that we put out late week. But you're going to be hearing more about this bet through the Breeders' Cup, at least, and hopefully beyond. That's going to do it. This show's been a production of In the Money Media. Our business manager is Drew Coatney. Our chief creative officer is Jonathan Kinchin. I'm Peter Thomas Fornital. May you win all your photos. I botched the intro, you probably noticed, to the last Golden Gate race, so I'm just going to re-record that, and then I'll edit it in. So just hang with me a second.
You should edit in the Hot Sardines.